provided for us. Just the way the Lord has not just taken care of us now, but what he has for us in eternity. Why would anyone want a different future? The last time we were together, we were looking at these stories in Kings, and I'm going to ask you again to turn to 1 Kings chapter 1. And the stories that we looked at the last time had to do with Israel wanting to hold on to the past. And this is a theme in Kings, but not a significant theme. The theme of our next story is far more prevalent in Kings. Someone is trying to gain control of the future. Someone, in this case, named Adonijah. And all throughout the book of 1 and 2 Kings, we are going to meet individuals who are seeking to somehow manipulate the future so that their interests are secured. And so we looked a little bit at the issues of holding on to the past. And again, the broad theme of Kings is the displacement of the power of the living God in our lives. What can creep into our lives that we will use as a substitute for the power of the living God? The book of Kings over and over again will mention the living God, the living God, the living God. And yet all throughout the book of Kings, we find people who trade him in for all kinds of things, idols, ceremonies, things that make them feel religious and spiritual but aren't the real thing. And these things are written that we might learn that this can happen to us as well. We're going to meet a man named Adonijah who needs to be in charge, has this desire to be in control. It is what's driving his life. Instead of the presence of the living God being what moves and rules him, something else. And for him, we'll see how that plays out in these stories. For each of us, it can be different things that this world makes us feel like life is alive, life is worth living. But some of those things, many of those things, are not from the Lord, and they displace the power of the living God in our lives. We're going to read 1 Kings chapter 1, verses 5 all the way through the end of the chapter. And we're going to meet a man named Adonijah, David's oldest son, who said, "I will be king," and exalted himself. Let's start reading together in chapter 1 of 1 Kings and verse 5. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, "I will be king." And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" And he was a very goodly man, or a very handsome-looking man. And his mother raised him, or bare him, to be like Absalom. And he confirmed with Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and with Abiathar the priest. And they following Adonijah, helped him. But Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David, were not with Adonijah. Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zoleth, which is in Enrogel, and called his brethren the king's sons, and all the men of Judah the king's servants. But Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah, and the mighty men, and Solomon, his brother, he did not call. Just pause there. These opening verses describe Adonijah and what he is like here. He is a man who we read would exalt himself and would decide that he should be king. We're not told why this is his passion. We have no indication from the text. We don't know whether he was just frustrated with the lack of leadership of his father David, whether he had been waiting for some time for some things to be decided, to be taken care of, and they just lingered and went on. But forever, whatever the reason, Adonijah thinks that it's time for action. It's time for a change. That it is time for David, his dad, to step down. It's time for him, who is, in his mind, far more suitable to take the stage as the king of Israel. We read a little bit about his upbringing. We read that his father went light on him. His father never really crossed him. That perhaps David had gotten a little tired in his old age, and as can often happen in families who tend to be stricter with their oldest children tend to be less strict with their youngest children. And for whatever the reason, we read David wasn't interested in having conflict with Adonijah. He always wanted to be Adonijah's friend. He never wanted to displease him. And so David never questioned some of the things that were developing in Adonijah's character. Why are you doing this? You ought to be doing it this way. He had somehow stepped aside as his proper father in these areas. We read that his mother was impressed with Absalom, Adonijah's older brother, who was handsome and also tried to become king. He was slain in battle. There was something about Absalom that his mother, David's, one of David's wives, really admired. And so we read this little thing about Adonijah, that there was something in the way he was parented that had some influence into why he turned out the way he was. We will see that all the way through the book of Kings. Throughout the book of Kings, the Lord will mention mothers and fathers and grandmothers who either did a good job or didn't do a good job in raising their children. As if to suggest that one of the reasons why men and women will stray from the power of the living God and perhaps not even find the living God may be because of the way their parents guided them when they were younger. And for those of you who are here this morning and you one day want to be a parent or are soon to become a parent or you presently are a parent, your role is absolutely vital and important. Another thing we see about Adonijah here is that Adonijah was interested in surrounding himself with chariots, horses, horsemen, surrounding himself with Joab, surrounding himself with men of prominence in David's kingdom, but there were certain others who were going to get in the way. Benaiah, Nathan the prophet, Solomon. And so he was okay with a division between the men of Israel, those who were on whatever side that was, David's side, Solomon's side. The Bible says those who belong to David and his men and his women and his people. And Adonijah thought it was fine for that to be the way it was. And he characterizes himself as someone who excludes others for whatever reason. We'll talk about that a little later. And so we come to verse 10. Adonijah is proclaiming himself to be king. He is throwing a feast. He has all of the great men and women of Israel together, except for those certain sticks in the mud that are difficult to be around. And he is anointing himself king. I will be king. We read now a couple of interesting verses verses 11, oh, right around verse 27 or so, as we go into David's secret chamber. A story about Nathan and Bathsheba and David. David is old, and he is in this chamber here. And the point of this story is, what is the Lord's will for the future? We know what Adonijah's will is for the future, but is this really from the Lord? Let's read these verses here as the Lord has given them to us. Wherefore Nathan spoke unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, hast thou not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, doth reign? And David, our Lord, doesn't know. Now therefore come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel, that you may save your own life and the life of Solomon. Go, get into King David and say unto him, didst not thou, my lord, O king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon your son will reign, not Adonijah. Solomon will reign after me, and Solomon will sit on your throne. Why then doth Adonijah reign? Why? Why is this happening? Did we get it wrong from the Lord? We had thought that the Lord said Solomon was to reign, but now Adonijah is to reign. Is it that we got it wrong? I like the attitude of Bathsheba and Nathan. They are concerned for their lives. They know that if Adonijah becomes king, then Adonijah is probably going to kill all those who are loyal to David. But they address the issue here first in wanting to know what the Lord's will is for the future. And here is one of the great themes in Kings. Is it what I want in the future that's what I need to see happen? Or is it what God wants? Is it what God wants? Who is the Lord of the future? And so here we read that, behold, while they yet talk there unto the king, Nathan says, I will come in and confirm thy words. And Bathsheba went into the king's chamber. The king was very old, and Abishai the Shulamite ministered unto the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did obeisance unto the king. And the king said, what wouldest thou? And she said unto him, my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thy handmaid, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. And now, behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. He hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host. But Solomon, thy servant, hath he not called. O thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass that when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted as offenders and rebels against the kingdom. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet is here. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me and shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and they drink before him, and they say, God save King Adonijah! But me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, thy servant Solomon, he has not called. Verse 27 is the issue. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who shall sit on the throne of my Lord the King after him. And so here in this little secret chamber experience here, David, we get a sense of what's really wrong in David's kingdom right now. David is probably unable to really function as king. And that is clear as Bathsheba comes into the king's presence, and there is Abishai, the Shulamite, trying to keep the king warm and alive enough so that he could just sit on that throne. Obviously, David is not able to do what he's supposed to do as king. Nathan is aware of this, and he knows that when Bathsheba comes into King David's presence and tells him about Adonijah, that David has lost discernment or trust, perhaps, in some of his key advisors, and will doubt what Bathsheba says, and will not necessarily accept what she is thinking. So Nathan says, after you come in, then I'll come in and confirm it. But it's important that it's confirmed, that the king understands what's happening, because we need an answer. We need an answer to this question in verse 27. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and you haven't shown it unto me? We need to know. We were clear. We thought for sure that Solomon was the son that David had selected and God had selected to reign. But maybe we got it wrong. Maybe it was really supposed to be Adonijah. We need to know that answer. What has the Lord really decided to do? You know, I just want to pause there for a second. And in each one of us in our lives, we think we know how our future should unfold and what should be the next steps and all the things that should be considered going right when our future is lived out. There are times when we think it's supposed to be Solomon, and maybe it's not. That's what Nathan and Bathsheba were trying to figure out here. Did we really get it wrong? What would happen if they found out that it was supposed to be Adonijah? That would have been a hard thing, wouldn't it have been? Yes, it would have been. Hard thing. We know the story, it's supposed to be Solomon. But they had to both come in a point in their lives when they had to submit that the future is in the Lord's hands. It's not in my ability to make it happen or to orchestrate things in life so that they turn out a certain way. That it's in the Lord's hands. And if the Lord is directing me in this path and I don't expect it, but that's the path, then that's the path I want. Adonijah had already decided that the future was, I am king. For Adonijah, if the answer was, no, it's supposed to be Solomon, that was something that he would fight. That was something that he would oppose. It was something that he could not accept. The believer accepts the Lord as the great I am, the Jehovah, the one who was and is to come. That is his title for the God of time, the God of the past, the present, and the future. And we must accept him for that as well. And make sure that we come to all big decisions concerning the future in our lives willing to put our absolute trust in him. Adonijah's name means, my Lord is Jehovah. Interesting. My Lord is the God of time, the God of future, the God who decides. And yet, in reality, Adonijah lived none of that truth in his life. None of that truth in his life. You know, we could spend a lot of time and a lot of life's thinking and a lot of life's energy trying to make the right moves in life to gain control of our futures. And in the process, now listen, I train my kids to think hard about their futures. I think hard about my future. I think sometimes we miss that as Christians sometimes. We live in the present. Where do we want Bethany Gospel Chapel to be in 15 years? What do I want to be doing in my career in 12 years? What should my children be like in 5 years? We sometimes don't think about that. The Bible talks about us not getting too distracted with the future. We don't know what a day may bring forth, the Bible says. And yet, there are times when we need to train up our children in the way that they should go so that when they are old, there's the future in mind, they will not depart. There are times when we need to be concerned about the future. But we must always be aware that after we've made all our plans and we've guided all of the courses and rearranged all our priorities, that we then, with a mind that God has given us, done everything we could with it, we then get on our knees and we say to the Lord, Lord, is this your will? Is this what you want us to do? Adonijah here is unaware of that kind of thinking. Now, we read a little bit more about what happens in this chamber. David responds. King David answers and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, as the Lord God lives and hath redeemed my soul out of all my distresses, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne, and in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord the king live forever. So now we have the answer. The answer is that Solomon is to reign, not Adonijah. And now David has to take certain steps to make sure that this happens. David has to do something that is very difficult for you and I, for mankind to do. It has to do with authority. It has to do with authority. What is it about us that makes us feel like we always have to be in charge? Isn't that something? You know, those of us who've been reading the scriptures long enough know how much the Lord talks about that. And yet, I confess, even in my life, there's still that, oh, if only I were in charge of this. Oh, if only I were in complete control of that department in the organization, then we'd really be able to do BIM 4D, 5D, and do something that the construction industry has never seen before. What is it with those scheduling people? You know? Oh, if only people listened to me in this area. What is it about us? And I don't know the answer to that. I think as I go through Kings, I'm going to find it. Maybe some of you know the answer to that, and you ought to share that with us. Adonijah wants to be in charge, but the other thing is that David, in order for God's will to be done, has to give up being in charge. He has to surrender it up. You remember how David came to power? King Saul was on the throne. King Saul was anointed by God, and he was in charge. David, as a young man, was also anointed by God, remember? Two kings! How can you have two kings? You can't have two kings. What was God's plan? God clearly told Saul, Saul, you had your chance. And now we need someone else, someone who can do it better, someone who can take care of my... You tried, but you failed. And now I found a man after my own heart, and it's David. And Saul, what you need to do now is let him have the crown. You let him have the crown, and you've got to serve him. And if you do that, then your life will be blessed. And Saul said, no, I'm keeping the crown. I'm going after David. My children will reign on the throne. What a mistake Saul made. David was the only one who knew how to defeat the enemy. David was the only one who knew how to defeat the Philistines. Saul, just let him have the crown. And you serve under him. What an honor to serve under him. Is that so hard of a life? Give it up. Give up that authority. Let him have it. And he'll be with you. And he would have been there. David would have been there at Gilboa. And Saul would have been at his side. And there would have been victory there. And Saul would have lived. But Saul, no, I'm holding on to my crown. I see this all the time in mankind. The Lord says, I want the crown of your life. Give it to me, and I'll save you. And I'll be with you through life and guide you. And your life will be right. No, I'm not giving up my crown. I'm holding on to it. Give it up. And we won't do it. And many a soul will end up in hell because they had to hold on to their little piece of authority in charge of themselves, unwilling to surrender it to someone else. Watch David. David sets an example of what needed to be done. Verse 32, King David said, call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada. And they came before the king. And the king also said unto them, take you the servants of the Lord. So that's the first thing he gives away. He gives away all of his servants. Give them to my son Solomon. And cause my son Solomon to ride on my mule. He gives that away. Bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel. Blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King Solomon. Then ye shall come up after him, that he may come and sit upon my throne. He gives up his throne. For he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him ruler over Israel and ruler over Judah. David made a conscious decision of the will. I'm no longer king. Solomon is king. I want to pause there and ask you, have you come to a time in your life when you've surrendered your will to the Lord Jesus Christ? When you've decided, I am no longer king of my life. You are. I've completely ruined it. Think of Saul. Great example. That's where we were. Get the crown off your head. Get on your knees and give it to David's greater son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called being saved. It's called being born again. The Lord tells us he who holds on to his life will lose it. But he who loses his life for my sake, the same shall gain. And what does it suffer a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? The Lord was in the wilderness. Satan came to him and said, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world in a moment's time. All you need to do is just flex your knee a little, bow down, and worship me. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Why are we serving ourselves or something else and not the living God? See, David, he sets the example. He He can have my mule. He can have my throne. He can have my servants. I have appointed that to him. We're not going to read much further. We're losing some time here. I want you to come to verse 41. It happens. The city is in an uproar. Solomon is defined as king. There's sounds, and Adonijah hears it in verse 41 at the party where Adonijah is. The guests heard it while they were eating and drinking. And Joab says, "What is this sound of trumpets? What is this noise in the city?" And while they yet spake, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abiathar, the priest, came. And Adonijah said unto him, "Come in, you are a valiant man. You bring good tidings." And Jonathan answered and said unto him, "Verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king." Oh, those are shocking news. But that doesn't panic Adonijah yet. What do you mean he made him king? Did he make him king of a little province in Jerusalem? What does that mean? Let's not get too worked up about this yet. All right, let's find out really what's going on here. Adonijah, I'm still in charge. I will be king. And so Jonathan, this servant, says, "The king hath sent him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and Jehoiada, the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and have caused him to ride on his own mule." So we get some more information, not just that David has made him king, but David's given his servants to him. All right, well, it's still, I mean, this is dire, but, and then we read, David's given him his mule. But let's not panic. We still don't know. I mean, David's not going to give up his throne. I mean, this is all for show. You ever met someone like that? You ever met someone who's, you know, have you ever worked for a boss? And I'm going to empower you to do this job. You're responsible for this project. That's a great thing to do as a boss, you know. I want you to take care of it. And then the man or the woman, whoever's your boss, gives you the assignment. You take the assignment, you start to come up with all these ideas and how to do this, and you come and you present your plan to your boss. And your boss says, "Oh, that's interesting. But this is the way I want you to do it." And she reads or he rechanges everything and never really gave you any authority anyway. It was all a bunch of blah, 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 show. No real, you know, hey, that's all that David's done here. You know, Solomon really isn't king. He's just kind of, we still don't really know who the real, "I'm the king," Adonijah says. But you know, here's what happens. We read here in verse 47. "And the king's servant came and blessed our Lord King David, saying, 'God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, and make thy throne greater than thy throne.'" And it's this last phrase, "And the king bowed himself upon the bed." And that was the kiss of death. No, this was real. David bowed down to his son Solomon. There was no mistaking it. The transfer of authority was complete in David's mind. He had surrendered it all to Solomon. And when Adonijah's guest heard this, we read here, "The guests of Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way. And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and rose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar." I'm reading in verse 51. "And they told Solomon, saying, 'Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. And lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me this day that he will not slay his servant with the sword.' And Solomon said, 'If he shows himself a worthy man, then shall not a hair of him fall to the earth.'" And so we'll stop our reading there. There it is, our little story here on Adonijah and his control of the future. Why was Adonijah trying to control the future? Well, we read here that he had an interest in exalting himself. We always think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, the Bible says. We always think we have so much more to offer. And we think that God doesn't have a place in the way we need to make this decision or the way in which we need to go. He was exalting himself. He said, I am what Israel needs. I and my ideas. And he may have been interested in building a temple. He may have been interested in developing better synagogues. We don't read that he was interested in Baal worship or some kind of awful, grievous sin. You know, we can be doing our thing and it can still look like it's God's work. We can be that way, you know, and still not be in God's will. We don't know. But the point was, he was exalting himself. The Lord, when he came down, as the early man was building the Tower of Babel. Building the Tower of Babel so that mankind could unify around it and be protected and safe and build a name for itself and a reputation for himself. The Lord looked down and saw that what they were doing and said, this is not good. And he struck the workers down with an impediment so that they couldn't understand each other. And the languages that are all over the planet today became into existence on that day. Why did God do it? Because he saw that if he continued and let them continue to build, they'd make a name for themselves. And our job down here is to make a name for Christ, is to make a name for God. Who cares whether I'm in charge or not? Is the name of the Lord been exalted? Is his glory shining out of my life? What does it matter whether people recognize me for what I've done and my talents and all that ability? It's not about me. It's about the Lord. It's about the Lord. How many people in the scriptures did God use and they never had an ounce of glory down here? And they never were. Look at the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own and his own received him not. He said, I came. Not to lord it over you, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. Oh, there's the attitude, not at Adonijah. It's all about me. It's all about exalting myself. That little chamber moment when they're trying to figure out what the Lord's will was, reminds me of Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present yourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may, what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life. Have you made a commitment in your life to not just the will of God, but to the perfect will of God? Be careful. There's so many paths in life, and God will let you go down many of them. But there's a perfect path. Oh, I want my life to be one that has trod the road of the perfect path as many days as possible. May the Spirit of God give me the wisdom to know and the courage to choose that path for God. And so with those two thoughts, I close. Be careful of self and that desire within ourselves to say, I will be king. I will be king. I want to be in charge. Exalting yourself. Life is about the Lord. It's not what you want. It's what the Lord wants, his will, surrendering to his will. Let's bow our heads, every head bowed and every eye closed. And I'm wondering if there's someone here today and you've been running your life as king and it's a mess. You need Christ. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us he stands at the door of your heart and he knocks. He asks as a servant, will you let me in? The God of the universe is saying, will you let me in? And he says, if anyone hears his voice and opens the door, Jesus Christ comes in. And when Jesus Christ comes in, everything changes. You become a new creation. Life's not about you anymore. It's all about Christ and Christ alone. Old things are passed away. All things become new. I want to ask you right now in your pew, quietly, to take the crown off your head and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. Lord, we want to do a better job in putting you first. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, for allowing the things of self to creep in and to distract. Forgive us, Lord, for missing what life is meant to be about the glory of Christ, the glory of God. Help us, Lord, to surrender to you. Help us, Lord, to seek your good and acceptable and perfect will. Help us, Lord, not to displace the power of the living God in our lives for something as silly as my idea and my vision for the future. Help us to see Christ and his vision and his will in our lives. Lord, bless this study in Kings. May it be helpful. May it revive in our souls the power of the living God in our lives. May we experience it, Lord. Lord, we commit this day to you now, and we thank you for bringing us here. In Jesus' name, amen.